Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Do shadows lurk in your life, perhaps in the form of discouragement, frustration, debt, fear, abuse, addiction, heartbreak, or loneliness? This hour, I invite you to leave the darkness and step into the light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is multi-published author and speaker Tracy Wainwright. Her passion is to share ways we can live the abundant life Jesus came to give us through practical biblical purposes. Have you ever longed for a transformed life, perhaps filled with more order, peace, and purpose? Do you ever wonder why your thoughts take you to the places they sometimes do, and if there is a way to control those mental wanderings? Go grab a cup of coffee, settle into your favorite resting spot, and we'll return in 1 minute when Tracy will join us on the show.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it home.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Your candle.
Welcome back to Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, May 3rd, as we broadcast our 31st episode. Today's guest, Tracy Wainwright, in addition to authoring more than half a dozen books, educates, encourages, and engages others with her speaking ministry. She directs a women's conference, serves as a women's ministry leader in her church, and advocates living transformed. Book soon to be released is A Transformed Mind, Changing Your Thoughts to Change Your Life, is the first in a series of 12 mini ebooks devoted to life transformation. Here to share ways you can experience a transformation in you and I can experience a transformation in each of our lives is special guest Tracy Wainwright. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very honored to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you this morning, Tracy. I'm so glad that you made contact with me and talked to me about the show, because I'm always looking for exciting guests for our listeners, and I am sure without a doubt that you are going to be one. Tracy,
well,
You live back there in Virginia, so you're quite a ways away from me. I'm out here in Colorado. You have some little ones that you are raising. And mentioned in the introduction that there are several other endeavors that you are involved in. So you sound like quite a busy lady.
Yes, my schedule tends to be full.
So if you would, tell us what factors in your childhood shaped your decision to engage in the activities that you do now, as far as sharing God's word through your writing, your speaking.
Well, that's a very interesting question. I was not raised in a home where God was taught. I did learn about him through my grandparents and their faith. But pretty much, even though I was saved at 13, I didn't have a lot of growth. So it wasn't until I was 19 and out of childhood and started going to church and really learning what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus, that I really began thinking about what God had for me, or even that he had anything for me to do in this life. And so as I grew and matured and ended up writing and speaking, which were not things I ever even considered doing, much less thought that they would become my main career. Really one of the childhood things that shaped that is that I didn't have that mentor or person or even church that discipled me into spiritual growth. And so when I became an adult and had that and saw that the power that that had and the power of just getting into God's word and learning to communicate with him through prayer and how important that was and how much I missed in my childhood because I didn't have that, that really gave me a passion to share that with other people of all ages. If people will, you know, look at my books, you'll notice I have books from picture books through adult books, and that's because no matter what age we are or where we are on our journey, there's always the next level of maturity and growth that we can strive for. And so really it was just my desire to share what God had taught me and done in my life with other people.
And I love that you shared that with us, Tracy, because when I first started going to Christian writers conferences, which I'm going to another one here in about a week, when I first met people who had done a lot of Christian writing, I just assumed that, oh, they grew up in such a wonderful Christian home and they've always had God in their lives and they've lived such a life that is so much more pure than mine ever was. And all these thoughts went through my head until I actually got to know these people. And I think that's what God does. He uses the people that you would least expect him to use sometimes. I'm not saying that about you, but in general, he takes people that have had lives that were very distant from him, and he brings them in, and then he uses them to spread that message. So I just love to hear, like I say, folks like you who share your testimony with listeners, because I think it opens the eyes of a lot of people. So how do you feel that what specifics led you into ministry itself? When did you decide, hey, this is what God wants me to do, and how did he show you that path?
Well, if only it was that simple.
Sounds like a story coming up
here. Well, it's interesting because, you know, we're talking about stepping into the light, and it really was a very dark time for me emotionally and a little bit spiritually that really led me into ministry. I had just had my second child. I had just quit work to stay home full time. And I had a job since I was 14. I started babysitting when I was around 13, 14. As soon as I got a driver's license, I got a job where I was working in addition to going to school and extracurricular activities. I worked all through college while going to school full time for 7 years. So I had never not worked before in my life. And trust me, I was working. But I had never, you know, been home. And here I was, I had a newborn, I had a two-year-old, and I was also, to help supplement our family income, was doing childcare in my home. So I also had a 15-month-old and an 18-month-old, and over the summer had a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. And, yeah, it was a little crazy, and we went day by day, and but I also did not know at the time, but realized later on, I was also going through postpartum depression. And it just got to the point where I was and just really didn't have a lot of encouragement, didn't have a lot of outlets, and was just desperate for something to get me out of that pit. And so God used me kind of pouring out all these emotions on paper, which I have a background in psychology, so it kind of started as a venture to really dig into the whole at-home versus at-work situation. And, you know, perspective, I had both perspectives. And so it really was, you know, whatever God calls you to, he can use you at, and there really shouldn't be a debate. And so that kind of led into my first research and book that's still sitting in a file somewhere that I haven't really gotten anywhere with, that God kind of led me to put that aside, that really that was more just for me, working through all of those emotions and all of those factors that were going on in my life and this really big change, and also led me to writing, because through that I started researching writing and really how to do it well, and never was uncomfortable speaking, but never thought it was something I would do. But of course, when you're writing nonfiction, everybody says platform, 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 and
right.
You know, 10 years ago that was speaking. There wasn't, you know, blogs weren't as popular. There wasn't Twitter. Facebook was just really coming on the scene. Instagram wasn't even thought of yet, you know, form. And to really get the word out there, we're not there. So that's when I started looking at the speaking and found that I loved it. I told my husband after my first event at a local library about writing. I said, you're in trouble. Because I loved this. And God just kind of drew me through my own healing process and my own process of becoming who he created me to be and sharing that with others into this writing and speaking ministry. And then also being involved with the ladies at my church and being a type A personality, ending up in the women's ministry leadership role and really starting to recognize what that really means. That it's not fun events, but that we're there. You know, the same purpose in my writing is to help women draw closer to God and women who don't know God to come to know him. And so it was really this, I would say, 5 to 7 year journey of God just saying, you know, here's how I want to use you, and me going, are you sure? Are you sure that's how you want to use me? Well, it's okay. Let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
I never really do have that. I just wanted to be obedient and then fell in love with it. I just absolutely fell in love with the whole process of ministering to people through the word, whether it be written or spoken.
Very good, Tracy. What is the first book that you released?
The first book that I released. Well, and I have to think, because I actually released 4 books in 2 months.
Oh,
when
wow.
When I first decided to self-publish, because I never thought I would. And when I started writing, self-publishing was still kind of looked down upon. And then as time went by, it became more acceptable and more popular. People were having more success with it. And I had been writing a fiction column for a friend who is a local magazine, and she said, hey, our anniversary is coming up in a few months. Could you finish the story and turn it into a book? And so I said, sure, I can do that. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to do the process for this one book, I have these 2 children's manuscripts sitting in the folder and a praise journal sitting in my folder. Why don't I go ahead and publish those too? So within a 2-month period, I put out a children's book called Apple versus Asparagus. It's a fun little tale about fruits and vegetables learning to get along and not judging each other by their colors or their category. a children's book it's really, really fun. And I got a great illustrator, which everything just kind of fell in place with that. And then Counting from Creation, which is Bible stories put in poems, but, you know, one. So we have one God. And then 2, there were, you know, 2 people decided to be obedient to God, and that talks about Mary and Joseph. And then 3, the 3 gifts. So then it kind of goes through some other stories all the way through Revelation. And my novel, which actually prompted all of this, I published after the children's book, I believe, and it's called Her Whole Self, and it's about a young woman's journey that mirrors some of the experiences I've had. Many of her experiences are just pure fiction about what happens when you lose everything that you care about and how do you figure out how to keep going. And so she was not a believer, but, you know, God kind of opened the door for believers to pull into her life during that time. So those were the first few books that kind of came out, bam, 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 in a row when I first decided to this publishing bull by the horn.
Very good. Well, Tracy, you have, I've looked at your blogs, I've looked at your website, and the main theme of your whole, what do I want to say, online presence is transformation. And you have experienced many transformations in your life, and you talked about coming through the postpartum depression, which, thank God, I never experienced, but I know some ladies who have, and it's a devastating thing. It's a very difficult thing for families to understand and for friends to understand, and that was definitely, I'm sure, a turning point for you in a very dark time. Is there other times that have really impacted your life when you said, wow, I can't believe I got from point A to point B?
Well, yes. I mean, one was really the most dramatic was when I was 19. Those really essential adolescent years for me were very tumultuous. When I was 16, we moved. I had grown up in Georgia, and we moved to Texas in the middle of my junior year of high school, which was pretty traumatic.
Oh, yes.
And then within a year, my parents separated, and about 3 weeks after I graduated, divorced. So it was a very difficult year, but I just, you know, kept going forward, went to college. Both my parents moved out of state. So my dad moved back to Georgia, my mom moved to Japan. Within a year, everything just kind of fell apart. I had gotten engaged and had my heart broken. I loved my first year of college for the most part, and then the money ran out for college. I was supposed to move into an apartment with my best friend and found out pretty late in the summer that her parents had kind of nixed that idea and told her she'd be living in the dorms again, and was looking for a job everywhere and just having no success. I mean, I'd had a job since I was 16, you know, so it wasn't like I wasn't qualified, and just everything just kind of felt like the bottom, you know, was falling out. That everywhere I turned, there just was nothing. There was no job, there was no money, there was no school, there was no boyfriend anymore, there was no, you know, nowhere to live. And so I just, you know, God had really worked hard to get my attention. And the people that know me know I'm pretty, I would be classified as strong-willed. So he had to go through some pretty dramatic events and circumstances. And so I pretty much ended up essentially homeless. I mean, I had friends that, you know, kind of put up with me for a couple of weeks as I kind of said goodbye to Texas and decided to move home with my mom. And so once I did that, I met my now husband, and he took me to church. And it wasn't just that he took me, but I knew in the core of my soul that I needed God to have over my life, because he had always been on the periphery. And I just knew, you know, when you have nothing left and you know God is still there, you know that's where to turn. And even though I got a job and even though I applied to school and, you know, everything started falling back in place, I just knew that I could not live my life in that darkness without him being prominent. And so, you know, as I said before, as I started learning the scripture and learning to be in it myself and learning to talk to him with prayer, he just changed me into almost a completely new person. You know, very few people I know now knew me when I was 19, other than my husband, because we've been together that long. But I just, you know, I tell them, you would not believe the person that I was, because I was very rough around the edges. I was very, you know, I could be fair, but very self-centered, really didn't have a lot of biblical knowledge at all or any idea that God had a plan for my life, much less, you know, wanting to seek what that was. And so really that was the biggest transformation, is when I finally got in a place where I was surrounded by people who knew him, and I started to learn about and really get in that relationship. Every aspect of my life, from my thought life, the way I dressed, to the way I talked, how I spent my free time, to my career and what I wanted to do. I switched from wanting to be an interior decorator to wanting to work with children and being a counselor, which is a pretty dramatic transition.
Yes, it sure is.
So that was probably the absolute biggest. There's been others along the way. You know, I didn't go to college for 7 years to be an at-home mom. And he called me to, and I love homeschooling my children most days. There, you don't see anything, there's birthdays, but I really would not want to exchange that time with them for anything in the world. So certainly there's been other transitions, but that's the most dramatic, that God really just got a hold of me and showed me what I was lacking and not having this relationship with him. And then, just, like I said, just changing pretty much every aspect of who I was, not personality-wise, but just kind of shaping that coal into a diamond kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same properties, but getting off all the rough stuff and really letting the person he created me to be from the inside shine through all that.
Well, it sounds like you went through an awful lot, Tracy, but it sounds like the Lord has really, really worked on you and shaped you to be a wonderful messenger for him. And you can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why one of my, you know, a lot of times my email tagline or other places, you know, it's just by his grace. It's just by his grace that I am where I am and that I'm able to do what I'm able to do.
And I often wonder, wouldn't it be wonderful if more parents and, well, even teachers, I know that's a rough area anymore, but if we could impress upon our children that God does have a plan for us, because so many young people deal with so many issues, and if they knew that there is a God out there who is guiding them and just waiting to show them the path, it would be so them, I sometimes believe. And I think that society in general falls down on that, and it makes it very, very hard for young people. But then on the other
hand,
like they say, you know, we experience adversities in order to become stronger for him as well. So I guess there's two ways to look at it. I don't think
absolutely
in the long run, as much as we hate the adversity at the time that we're going through it, I think when we come out on the other side, we realize that we probably would not be as strong as we are without it.
Right. Yep,
that
absolutely
doesn't make it any easier going through it, but if you want to look on the bright side. Well, Tracy, I know that a lot of what you are writing about in your future series, we'll talk about that here in a few minutes, our thought life. Why are our thoughts so important? They're just thoughts. What can they do to us?
Yes. Well, and it's funny because, you know, part of my journey was going from a person who never thought about what I thought about. I just, you know, I talk about that in my book. I just kind of bounced through life. I just kind of went from one thing to the other, and I never thought about things too deeply, and I never certainly thought about my thoughts. But what I have learned is God has molded me and matured me is that what I think about him and what I think about myself and what I think about other people determines how I live my life. So if I don't think I'm worthy of respect or that I am valuable, then I'm going to make decisions that devalue myself and that allow myself to be mistreated, which God never intends. If I do not have proper and appropriate thoughts about him, then I'm not going to be able to live a life that is in obedience to him. And one thing that I really see a lot in our culture that is really hard is people that believe And their focus on God is just as a loving God who wants you to have the best life you ever could. And I've really seen that lead to a lot of anger and disappointment obviously things don't always go the way that people think that they should go, instead of recognizing that God is not just a loving God, but a holy God and a just God, and that the things that we see as negatives on this earth are things he uses for our betterment, like you were just talking about, those hard times, you know, aren't punishments necessarily, and they're not a lack of God's love, but a lot of times they're him lovingly calling us closer to him. And if we don't have that understanding in our thoughts about who he is, if we don't trust his innate goodness and love and holiness, then that's going to change the way we react to him. We may react in anger. We may react in a lack of belief. We may pull away from him. And then also our thoughts about others. I've seen this in my life. It's funny how God has played that out in the last year, really. Just people I love, but who may think very differently than me and cause me to think differently, and I've really caught myself going into some negative thought patterns. And through the writing of this book and really putting the things into practice, God has taught me to change those thoughts around the same situation. The situation hasn't changed at all, but to, instead of thinking, oh, I need to defend myself, or I need to explain myself, or how could you do this, or you need to change you, or, you know, those negative thought patterns, to change it to, you know, I love this person, and God, I want you to help me to love them better, and to pray for them. And what has changed is my joy and my peace. So just changing my thoughts has changed my joy and my peace, even though I can't change my circumstances. But also my thoughts around, you know, what my purpose is. You're talking about purpose. You know, I can very much sit around and waste time. We have a lot of avenues for wasting time. I love Netflix, but it can be a trap. And, you know, so if I know that God has a purpose and a plan for me, I'm going to work that out every day, and I'm going to be taking steps towards that plan instead of wasting that time just entertaining myself. And it all falls back to thought. You know, who am I? Who is God? Who does he want me to be? And how does he view other people? And that changes how I interact with other people and how I spend my time on a day-to-day basis.
You hold that thought for a second, Tracy. We're going to go on to some other aspects of that thought. But in the meantime, we're about halfway through the show. And at this time, I like to make listeners aware of who they're listening to, because sometimes Blog Talk Radio listeners come in the middle of a show and they don't know who they're listening to. So let's do a little station identification here real quick. We are listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Our guest today is speaker and author Tracy Wainwright. Tracy has been talking to us. She talked to us a little bit about her childhood and how she was led into ministry. She works with women's ministry. She directs a women's conference, and we'll talk about that in a while. She has a new series of ebooks coming out soon, and Tracy likes to talk about transforming your life, and that's something that I could certainly stand as some transformation in my life, and maybe some thought process changes here to become a little bit more productive and at peace. So it's been great talking with Tracy, and we have quite a bit more to go on the show yet. I also want to make folks aware of where they can find Tracy. She does have a website entitled TracyWainwright.com. Her name is spelled TracyWainwright. She also has a blog. She has a Facebook page and a Twitter page. But since I'm sure you don't want to sit there and listen to me rattle off all of those URLs, I'm going to refer you to my website, which is PattySheen.com. And on that site, you will find my Blog Talk Radio tab and a page entitled Website and Social Media Information, and there you will find the needed contact information for all of my guests, including Tracy. So I invite you to go over there and check that out and to learn more about Tracy. So Tracy, getting back to what we were talking about, which is how our thoughts impact our life, there's been a lot of debate about what influences us to think the way we do. And what I'm thinking is, especially young people and the whole video game thing and the violence and that kind of exposure. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there really are so very many influences on the way we think. You know, as children and as we're growing up, really our parents and their beliefs and their actions have a huge influence on the way we think. Our education has a big impact on the way we think and just our experiences. You know, whether it's moving or losing a parent or the divorce of parents or, you know, a best friend leaving. I can even remember, you know, just statements that were made in passing in the hallway in high school that still come up in my mind, you know, 25 years later. So those experiences. And then as, you know, we grow and also the culture and the media, you know, the video games, but also we're just bombarded with concepts and just ideas about what's important and morality and
yes.
From the radio, from TV, from you know, magazines, just
what
all
read,
the different
yep.
social media, absolutely what we read, books, blogs. That's the reason blogs are so important. People are saying things and people listen to that. Even YouTube. YouTube has, you know, really been out there. So all the media, whatever we are exposed to in words and pictures, has an impact. And our faith, whether we have faith or don't have faith, influences the way we think. So really just the people in our lives, the culture and media that surrounds us, and our experiences all have impact on the way we think.
And sometimes you wonder if you even have control of your own thoughts. And do you think that we do? And if not, how do we gain that control?
Right, and we should, and that's really the main premise of a transformed mind, is we should not only acknowledge that we have control over our thoughts, but we need to take control. You know, I think about a car. We can put it on cruise control, and we really don't have control over the speed, but it's a matter of turning that cruise control off, and we can push the pedal down and go faster or hit the brake and go slower, and really we have that power with our mind. I think too often we are on cruise control, and all of those things that are coming in influencing our thoughts just kind of lead the way, and we can really take that control back. And it's a journey, because if we're used to just letting our thoughts go, you know, willy-nilly, as I like to say, you know, then really those other things are controlling what we're thinking. But we have the power to take it off of cruise control and either speed up or slow down, and some other aspects about taking control of our thoughts. And that the book has those tools. You know, how do we do that? How do we take control of our thoughts? And the first is just being aware of what you think, and believing that just because a thought comes into your mind does not mean you have to let it run wild. Or, as I say in the book, you don't have to let it set up housekeeping and plant roots. You can boot it out of there and
yes.
And really choose to think something different. So we can have control over our thoughts, but we don't always realize that or utilize that that entity that we have within ourselves.
And you know what I'm relating that to is, as I'm listening to you speak, Tracy, and these thoughts are going through my head, and I'm thinking how easily we can relate that to the two shortfalls, I guess, that are mine, which is, and that of many other people too, which is procrastination and organization. And I think that our thought processes very much play a part in how we let those two things control our lives, because I know that I definitely let the procrastination piece
right,
take over
right,
for
absolutely.
Me an awful lot.
Absolutely,
because
if things become overwhelming, we procrastinate, and it's just easier, you know, to avoid it. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. what would you say then are, and this is probably going to be addressed in your series of books that you're doing, what are the best thinking practices for a healthy and fulfilled life, would you say? Without trying to give away too much of your book, because I know you want people to read it. Give us a little taste.
Right. Well, there are, you know, four examples. It certainly is not exhaustive of best thinking practices, but really being mindful of your thinking and being sober-minded and just talking about what that means. And that really means just taking stock and really evaluating your thoughts. So, you know, taking stock of how you're thinking is one step. And then thinking humbly. We live in a society and a culture that's very me-centered and pleasure-centered, and what can you do for me, and how can I have the best life possible, and immediate gratification. And to kind of flip that on its head, when we think humbly, we find so much more joy and peace. I was just thinking, you know, yesterday, you know, the more people seek their own pleasure, really the more miserable they become, because you're going to be disappointed on a regular basis. And you really find more misery when you seek your own pleasure. But when you humble yourself and you really seek to give to other people and to lift other people up, there's so much joy in that. And that takes a really transformed thought process from what our culture is constantly bombarding in us. And then I'm going to skip one. They'll have to get the book to get it, because it's kind of a little bit more detailed. But the last one is gratitude.
Yes.
Having a mindset of gratitude, because just an example, you know, we hear a lot of times people talk about what they don't have because we're comparing to what this person over here has, or they go on vacation 3 times a year, or they buy a new car every 2 years, or, you know, they have a house cleaner or whatever, and I can't afford that, so I'm going to, you know, woe is me, I don't have anything, I can't afford all of that. And mm-hmm. I recently was very blessed and honored to go on a mission trip to Kenya, Africa, and work with the great poverty there and orphans and street kids, and see what it really means to have nothing. Like, no roof over your head. You don't know what food you're going to eat from day to day. You're wearing clothes that are worn out. You know, many of the kids didn't have shoes on their feet. You know, so to see really what it means to have nothing, even though I've been an advocate of a gratitude and grateful mindset for a long time, that's why I have my praise journal I put out. But it really just stark contrast. You know, right now I'm living in a situation where my family of 6 is living with my in-laws. So we have 8 people in a 3-bedroom house. So I don't have a lot of space right now. I don't have a lot of my own things right now. But you know what? That doesn't matter, because mm-hmm. I have a loving family member that took us in while we build our new house. And we have air conditioning and running water and food. And so really having that attitude of gratitude. And that's going to be the focus of the main focus of, I think it's going to be book 4. I don't have them all memorized, but a transformed attitude. And really that gratitude mind thinking will change. You know, if you wake up every day and think about what everybody else has and what you don't have, you're going to be discouraged. But if you wake up every day being grateful for all the wonderful things, and we all have something to be grateful for, then that's going to change your whole day and how you approach the day and the things that you you meet during your day.
Exactly. I agree with you 100% on that, Tracy. In fact, I was going to bring that up on the show, but I didn't know if you actually went on your mission trip, because I saw on your blog where you had talked about going and the fundraising and everything, but I didn't get a chance to read as much as I would have liked to, but I didn't see a follow-up where you had went, so I thought, well, maybe something happened, didn't get to go, so
I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah, I got home on April 12th, and ever since then, well, first I was catching up on sleep, and then I've been working on the book launch. So once the book is launched on Thursday, that's on my list of things to get done, is to go back and really follow up and share about the mission trips and just the wonderful ways that we saw God working through
oh,
that.
Oh, wonderful. Very good. No, I only had the opportunity to go on one mission trip, and it was with our youth group here in town. We went down to Texas for Hurricane Rita recovery. And, oh, man, I mean, those people, they had what they called the blue roofs, which was the big blue tarps. And these people had been living that way for over a year. And it was like, wow, you know, here we worry if our roof gets wind damage. It's like, we need it fixed now,
right.
You know. Yeah, it does.
Yep.
It puts a whole different perspective on, excuse me, on what you have and on, like you said, that attitude of gratitude. So tell us about your series and where people can find it and when and how and all the good stuff that writers love to talk about when it comes to their work.
Okay. Well, the Transform series is a new series that just kind of came out of last summer. I did what I called a Bible reading challenge where I read through the entire New Testament, except for I'll have to, you know, for full transparency, I never made it through Revelation. Made it about halfway through, but the rest of the New Testament, all Psalms and all Proverbs in 30 days. And it was just an amazing experience. And I came off of that really just seeking where God wanted me to go. I was just taking back over our women's ministry at church, and I was looking at my writing and speaking and just all the things that I was doing. And I really just, you know, what is my focus? And I'd been listening to a lot and reading a lot about, you know, ministry and platform and really honing in your niche, and really, you know, what is your ministry? And I'm like, what is it that's common about all these things that I'm doing? Even homeschooling, even being a wife, these different things. What is that factor that can be in all of them and that that really is my ministry focus? And over again, God just brought transformed, because I want to, you know, transform, help people transform their lives by growing closer to the Lord and really knowing Him better, to share the gospel, because I am involved in missions in my church, so that was on the list too. What's the purpose of that? To share the gospel with people, because that's really the ultimate life transformation, is from death to life and from sin to righteousness and from darkness to light. And, you know, just with my speaking and even homeschooling, I want to transform my children's minds, you know, as they learn
sure.
and grow and mature. And so that just kept coming up. And one of the things that I had learned, because I've been writing for 10 years, I have published several books, and I really am ready to make money at it. And so one of the things that I saw, again, over and over, was small ebooks that have a big impact. And that really doing a series and really feeding readers something of value and doing it over and over and over again, so that I'm really not just writing to write, but really pouring into lives and doing it on a consistent basis. Because I can write one book, but you know, how far is that going to go? Well, if I can do the second book and build on that, because really our transformation never stops. Really, it's from, you know, this level to the next level to the next level to the next level. And
sure.
So out of that, this 12-book e-series that's a transformed life, and so transformed mind and mouth, which is next, that comes out in June. And that's a really fun one because, you know, your thought life is kind of private. But when you start talking about what comes out of your mouth, other people really know what comes out of your mouth, especially those close to you. So now that I've written that one and I'm getting ready to edit it and get it ready for publication, you know, I have to be really careful about how I speak to my husband and my children, because it really does matter.
Yes.
And then Transform Ministry will be after that, and that, you know, really everyone has a ministry. You know, whether you think you have a ministry or not, God has made each of us to be a part of His body and feed each other and serve each other. And so A Transformed Mind releases Thursday. I can't believe that's in 2 days.
Yes, that's exciting.
Yep. And then, so about around the 5th or 6th of each month until next April, I will have a new ebook come out. And then, so after the first three come out, sometime this fall, they'll be published in a print book together.
Uh-huh.
To really get the value worth it. And I'm also doing YouTube videos on being transformed. I had a big long break when I was preparing for my mission trip on my mission trip in Hull. But I'm getting back into that as well. And I'm just really excited about, I've had a launch team that have kind of had a chance to pre-read the book before it's come out. And just the feedback, people saying, you know, I really needed this. This is the area I'm struggling in. And having an opportunity to pray for them. And really, you know, the book has transformed me. So it was worth writing if nobody else got anything out of it. But I think that these are issues that we all struggle with. And if I can help say, you know, this is what I did wrong in my thinking, this is what God taught me, and this is a blessing that came out of being obedient to that, and share that with somebody and have them experience, step into that blessing too, then that really, I've met my ultimate goal at that point. I think I answered the whole question.
You did, Tracy. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, are you traditionally publishing your work, or are you doing it through independent self-publishing?
All of my books so far in this series, I am self-publishing, and that is
okay.
One of the reasons I'm able to come out with one every month.
Yes.
Because I have control over that timing. I do have one mystery novel that's under contract.
Editing
process right now. So that was very exciting when I actually got a contract. And so just kind of waiting on that process to happen and know that God's timing is perfect in that. Just had a fun time getting to know the other authors of Prison and the editors, you know, over the last several months. And so I have one that's going the traditional route, and I have no issues with future books. I have another nonfiction book that's going to be quite a bit longer that my goal was to have it traditionally published just because of the type of book that it is.
Right.
It talks about, it really goes back to that thought process. It's a myth that we often integrate from the culture into our mindset as Christians, and the truth from the word that that we, you know, will benefit by living by. So that one's kind of been set aside while I've been working on the ebook series. But I hope to be able to pick that back up this summer while homeschooling is on summer break. That's usually when I get more writing done from June to August than I usually do from September through May.
Oh, sure. That makes a lot of sense. Goodness, that's right.
Yep.
You do homeschool your children, and you have four, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I do. They're actually doing TV school right now. So that's great that I have that. You know, YouTube is a wonderful place
yes.
where I can set up a playlist and they can learn about the continents and some Spanish and their multiplication tables and do art class all through YouTube. So it's been
neat.
A wonderful tool to help me with my writing.
I'm sure there's a lot of wonderful, I'm sure there's a lot of wonderful tools out there for homeschoolers now with all of the technology that's available.
Yes.
And that's probably
yeah.
a whole different topic that we could spend another show talking about, Tracy.
Absolutely.
Well, I was going to ask you what readers will learn from your series, but I think you pretty well covered that too as to what the takeaway would be for it and what you have to offer. And it sounds exciting, and I'm pretty excited to – now, will I be able to go ahead and access it on Thursday through your website or where?
I do have a link on my website. It's also on Amazon. You can just search Transformed Mind, and I have learned about pre-orders and really advertising early, so it actually hit number 3 on the top new releases in religion and spirituality short books.
Oh, how awesome is that?
So, yeah, I think it's still in the top 20 right now. But, yeah, I do have a link on my website under books. It's right there up top, and the link to the Amazon site is there to to get that ordered.
Very good. Okay, because, yeah, I definitely intend to get it.
Well, thank you.
Well, believe me, I need it. So.
Well, it was funny when I went through the editing process. You know, I wrote it back in January, and then I was editing it, and I was telling my friend, I'm like, I'm so glad I edited it because I needed to read my own book again.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. God's reteaching me. Oh, yeah, I do know this. I just have to put it in practice again.
Oh, yeah, I am supposed to be doing this, huh?
Absolutely.
Tracy, I mentioned when I introduced you that you direct a women's conference. Would you share with us a little bit about where it's held and what it's all about?
Absolutely. This was one of the things that kind of launched out of my desire to speak and to pour into other women. We are heading into our sixth annual Abundant Life Conference for Women. And it is held in historic Williamsburg each year. So I know some people love to just come visit Williamsburg. We're so blessed to live here. It is a one-day conference now, and we did that, and we hold it at our church just to reduce the cost and allow more women to come. But really the purpose is to help women in all those areas of life to live more abundantly, that we can really live victoriously and abundantly in Christ, but we all have areas of struggle. And so we have topics like abundant faith. I think one of our topics this year is abundant waiting, which I've learned a lot about, but I'm not speaking on because we have a lovely young lady who published a book called Such a Time that just talks about that waiting for God and his plan and what you do while you're waiting. We have other topics, you know, we talk about parenting, we talk about stress, we talk about joy, living joyfully. So really just hitting those topics of faith that women can relate to, that some women struggle with, or just
yes.
Somebody to hit that next level, you know. So, you know, I, you know, have a good grounded faith, but how do I really have that abundant faith when I can't see what the next step is or I can't see how God's working in this situation? How do I have that next step of faith? So we really address those topics. We have great worship. We have keynotes and breakout sessions. It's a wonderful time of fellowship, and the website for that is super, super easy. It's just abundantlifeconferenceforwomen.com. We don't have the new information up yet, but we are actually meeting this week to kind of try to nail down our speakers and everything. But we just, it's a great time of, I like to call it a booster shot. So you just kind of get away from life for a day and get fellowship and just hang out with a bunch of other wonderful Christian women and just get encouraged and equipped and just have that great time that kind of bolsters you up to go back to your family because you've just spent all these hours getting poured into by teaching of the Spirit and worshiping our Creator.
Oh, it sounds awesome. And what time of the year is it held? You may have said that, and I didn't catch it, Tracy.
Oh, I did not, and I should have. We are doing the first Saturday in October. So this year it's October 1st.
Okay.
So just under 5 months away. And like I said, we don't have information up yet, but we should have registration open by the end of June. But, yeah, it's just a great, great time of lifting up. And in the fall, the kids are back to school and everybody settled back into their routine. And it's good to step away before the holidays come and just get that you know, encouragement and bolstering up that we all can use sometimes.
Oh, sure. Yes, it sounds wonderful. And so it's a one-day event then.
It
is.
Is
that correct?
We do, yes. We used to do a day and a half, and it was just so hard, especially for women that work full-time. And we do, like last year, we did a dinner on Friday night just for those who wanted to come for, if I'm remembering correctly. So it's a pretty good full day, but not so long that you can't travel and long enough that you're, you know, not exhausted, but you really just get a lot of value out of it.
Right. I'm curious to know, do you have many ladies that come to the conference from out of the immediate area? Do you have people from all over the country, or is it pretty much a fairly local event, Tracy?
We have people that come from all over Virginia. We actually, my sister is such a great supporter. She still lives in Georgia, and she has come for 3 years now and left here brought two friends. So we had people from Georgia come. We've had some people from, like, Maryland come and visit us. We have had speakers from all over. Our keynote speaker was from the West Coast last year. We had one from Illinois. So we do have people come, probably I would say mostly statewide, but also the surrounding states as well. We certainly would love to have people from anywhere, you know, come and join us. We love women. We love meeting other sisters in Christ, and just the relationships and the people that we get to meet is always such a blessing.
Oh, it just sounds wonderful. I wish I was closer.
Yep.
Hey.
Yep, I understand.
Well, Tracy, this is the this is the part of my show of I love doing the show, but this is the one part of the show that I don't like, and that is where I have to tell my guests that we are about out of time.
Yeah.
It's been a wonderful pleasure to have you with us today. I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts about thoughts and about transformation, about your work that is coming out in 2 days. I wish you many, many blessings with that. I'm sure that it will bless many people. And I will do my best to promote that. And once again, I just want to thank you for taking the time to spend this hour this morning with us.
And well, it has been an absolute pleasure, and the hour has just flown by.
It does. I know. It's kind of amazing how it just really, really goes rapidly. So I will stay in touch with you, Tracy. I would like to pick your brain a little bit more about some of your social media venues and that kind of thing. And plus, I just think you're a fascinating lady. So I definitely want to keep in touch with you. Well, thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you so much. I look forward to keeping in touch with you.
All righty. And God bless you. To our listeners,
thank you too.
To our listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Thank you for being with us today. I would like to remind you to go to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. There you will find the Blog Talk Radio tab and the page underneath it that has the website and social media information for Tracy and for all of our guests. I'd love to have you go and connect with her and learn more about her. She has a wonderful website with a lot of fascinating resources on there for ways to transform our minds and our thought life. I invite you to come back again next Tuesday, May 10th, when we will have a new show. Remind you also that on my website you can find archives of all the shows that we have broadcast to date. So until next week, God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and thank you for listening.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit